I'd like to spend a couple minutes in God's Word. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. I'll read the verses aloud to you. And Dad, this is in remembrance of Mom, of Joanne. And may all of our hearts be comforted and have great hope as we take a minute to open God's Word. And if this teaching had a title, it would be The God of All Comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. God does not want us to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Joanne is asleep. Joy calls it TDY. Temporary duty station, something like that. Temporary, yeah. Well, she's awaiting the gathering together. Well, so are we. But we're the ones that are sorrowing right now. We're sorrowing because of the loss, and it is a loss. Today is a day to remember. It's a day to remember Joanne and her beautiful heart and life. And it's a day to really bless and praise and to think about her life. And I think that with what you did, Preston, by that slideshow, in the, I have no idea how many hours it took, what it took to put that together, but that slideshow helped fill and finish that sentence to really bless and praise. Those are good words. Such a wonderful, wonderful person. It is so costly to God any time there is the death of a saint. It is so costly. It is not God's will. It happened because of his archenemy. But one day, she's going to get up. Right, Claire? That's right. It's a day to remember. And we're going to remember Joanne. I'd like to read Proverbs chapter 31, verses 26 to 30. Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I speak of Joanne. I also speak of a virtuous woman. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that respects God, she shall be praised. That's a good day to do that, don't you think? Joanne's a virtuous woman. What a blessing to be in her company. And Joy and I have had the most amazing time being able to have Dad and Mom stay with us over these past several years. It wasn't like that before. We were traveling, going on missionary programs, doing so many different things, raising our own children. But in the last 5 years, it was really special for that. And thanks, Dad. Because one day Dad came up and he asked me, he goes, we're thinking about moving to Texas, and we'd like to live with you all. So my immediate answer was yes, not out loud. I said, well, Joy and I need to talk. But it was, the answer was yes. But I learned a long time ago, it's always good for the husband and wife to spend a few minutes talking before the husband says something, right? Let there be light. Let there be light. Genesis chapter 1. How did God handle the empty void? How are we handling the empty void? The best that I can do today is to show you some parallels that will help that. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God, it should be God in the beginning because God's always first, God's number one. God in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. And then something happened. You can read about it in Peter, where the earth was standing in and out of the water. Have you ever had a, oh my God moment? I try not to have those in our marriage. But, you know, oh my God, Joe, what did you do? That kind of thing. Well, God is God, so he doesn't really say, oh my God. He goes, he looked at that void in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. He looked at the void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And he goes, oh my, what am I going to do with this void? What am I going to do on the face of the deep where the earth is standing in and out of the water like it says in Peter? What am I going to do? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. God's glory shone. The introduction of light dispels darkness. It's the first step in filling any void, no matter what type it is. And God's had some doozies. Well, we do too. This is a tremendous void that we're dealing with, that we go through. There's an emptiness there. It dispels darkness. So he got busy. On the second day, he stretched out the firmament, just like a tent canopy, over the whole earth. He stretched it out. He separated the waters from the waters. On the third day, he did all the herbs. He made the herbs and all the trees. On the fourth day, he made the sun and the moon. It happened on the fourth day, the sun and the moon. God's light needs no sun and no moon. And on the new earth that we will be going to one day, there will be no need for a sun because God is the light. That's the glory of God. The glory of the sun and the moon. I want to tell you about God's glory because God's glory outshines anything. And God's glory is what we need to be able to refocus on. So as we reframe our lives, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can let God's light shine and our paths can be directed and we can handle adversity and anything that comes our way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd like to read verses 41 and 42. I want to tell you about glory. We just saw it in Genesis chapter 1. And you know, you kids want to try this? Go out in the morning before sunrise, right after the dark ends, but way before this, you can see the sun, and go look under the car, and you'll see a shadow set going straight down underneath it. Why is that? Because God's glory still comes through the firmament. He put a cover over it, but his light hasn't gone out. He simply has it contained in the other heaven. He put a cover over it, and it still shines down now. So you go look outside, you'll see a shadow under your car. God's glory. God's glory. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 41, there is another glory. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. They're different glories. And another glory of the stars, for one differeth from another in glory. They're different kinds of glory. But they're bright. They're really beautiful. They're nice. Pretty incredible. And God put that sun up there that we can barely look into to show us a little bit about what his glory can look like, because no man can look at God and be in his presence and live. Moses tried that. God hid him behind a cleft, showed his hinder parts, right? And Moses came down off Mount Sinai on one of his seven trips, and he had to put a cover over his face because his face was so brilliant. They couldn't even look on him. You know that. You've read the Old Testament. That's what happened. Well, there's something that connects with this. Why is Joe talking about glory of the sun? I'll tell you why. Because so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It goes in one way, but it comes out differently. Incorruption means the same as immortal. We are mortals. Jesus Christ comes back now. We mortals, which are living souls, will get our new bodies. Those that have corrupted, taken their last breath, will become incorruptible, which is the same then as becoming immortal. But they were no longer alive before. They were no longer alive. So no matter how glorious this life is, the one we will be raised into is far different and far more glorious. No matter how glorious our lives are right now, and all the greatness that we experience, there's something coming that only those that have seen Jesus Christ in his resurrected body have a taste of. And there was only about 500 or so people that ever saw him in his resurrected body. There's that in the book of Acts. Wow, that's something else. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. There's more to this glory. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of that same thing happening to us that happened to Jesus Christ when God raised him from the dead. What a glorious day that's going to be. Joanne is awaiting that day. Well, we are too. We just are alive and remain. I'll show you that in a minute. There's other examples of God's glory. Let there be light, Genesis chapter 1. What about the burning fiery bush with Moses? What about the rainbow with Noah? What about the heavens declaring God's glory? What about the fire that completely covered the top of Mount Sinai? What about God showing Moses his hinder parts as he went by? What about the glory of God filling the Old Testament tabernacle? And then after that, the Old Testament Solomon's temple, that glory. What about God's glorious presence in Christ? What about Christ's glorious body? That our bio bodies will be fashioned like one day unto his glorious body. Philippians, we await that day. What about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God? What about us being transformed into the same image from glory to glory? One glory to another. No matter how glorious it is right now, we got something big coming. Real big. What about the New Jerusalem, where there will be no sun needed? Look outside, you see the sun. It's God showing you. Look outside, see the rainbow. Look under the car and see that shadow. That glory is still coming down through that expanse that's up there, separating the waters from the waters. John, Galatians chapter 3. God introduced light into the emptiness. God introduced light into the void. He had an oh my moment, then he fixed it. Whatever happened before happened, but God fixed it, and this is the earth that we live on right now. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I want to bring up the point that we are all children of God, those that are born again, that God wanted a family. He told Noah, when he came out of the ark, go out and replenish the earth. Fill it up. God wanted a family. Time and time again, his plan was thwarted. His plan got thwarted with Adam and Eve. And then when they were booted out of the garden, it got thwarted when Cain killed Abel. His plan continued to get thwarted, but he wanted a family. He's wanted a family since before the heavens and earth were formed. He had us in his foreknowledge. He had Joanne in his foreknowledge. David Ray, you and he, Kyle, everybody that he had us in his foreknowledge. He wants children. He's going to get his children. And we are his children. We're waiting for something very glorious while we live on this earth. You're all the children. God wanted a family. 1 John chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And it really doesn't, because that's a different kind of glory. It's glorious now. But it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Whoa. Nice. We're going to be like him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Jesus Christ is pure. There's a cleanliness, a purity that happens when we think about our new bodies, when we think about what the future holds, that we are the sons of God now, and that we will be having a new body then when we see him. There's a cleanness that happens. The condemnation, guilt, shame, misgivings fade away in the presence of God's glory because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, the hope that that day will happen. The nature of hope is that no man can make it happen. It has to be acted on from an outside source. It has to be God that does it. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That was the first empty grave, and it's still empty. That told the old devil, you lost. That grave is empty. there's going to be billions of empty graves when that great day happens. But we which are alive and remain, a little different story. I'll get into that in a second. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And I want to talk about this family, the children. Oh, children. We all are children, have been children. And we all know what it's like to be a child. Every one of us have been born, right? Psalm 128. I'd like to read verse 3 and 4. Children grow up as plants. Yes. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth or respects God. Dad respects God. Joanne has beautiful children. There's one sitting right here. I had the great, incredible fortune to be able to meet her and marry her. And we have children. And they have children. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, just bring it on. Like olive plants. Like olive plants. If I ask everybody that's related in blood to you, Dad, to stand up right now, half the room would stand up. You're a blessed man. We're blessed. Because it continues. Children grow up as plants. I want to tell you about hope of a tree. There's a tree that was in the Garden of Eden. You remember that tree of life? That they could eat of it and they would live forever? And after Adam and Eve committed high treason and sin, God booted them out of the garden and he put angels with swords to keep the way of the tree, because if man in that state would have eaten of the tree, he would have been forever unredeemable. So he was out of the garden. Nobody could eat of that tree. That tree's going to be in the New Jerusalem. You can read about it in Revelation. That tree's no longer on this earth. God's got it in a safe place somewhere. We can no longer eat of that tree. But I want to talk to you about a tree, and I want to go to Job chapter 14. In Job chapter 14, I'd like to read verses 7 to 14. Most of those. In verse 7 of Job chapter 14, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof becomes old in the earth, and the stalk thereof dies in the ground, yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Are we not a sweet savor unto God? When the savor of Christ comes, what a budding time is going to happen. Verse 10, but man dieth and wasteth away, yet man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Well, when a person takes their last breath, their body goes back into the ground, dust to dust. Their Holy Spirit goes back to the Heavenly Father. It's the earnest, it's the token, it's the ticket. It's not the complete quickening spirit. That comes with Jesus Christ. We're waiting for that. And then we will have the arising and changing of our bodies. The air, the breath life goes back into the air. Only God can put that in a body to make it come alive. So if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. There is a change coming, and it takes God's glory for it to happen. And though the tree may get cut down for whatever reason, we've all have had trees in our life that have needed to be cut down. Maybe a storm caused it, maybe something weak, maybe it didn't get the nutrients, maybe it didn't get the water. For whatever reason, the tree's gone. It'd be like walking out into your backyard one day after growing a big, beautiful tree. The kids play in it, the neighbors come over, squirrels are in it, it gives shade, maybe even has fruit if it's that kind of a tree, but it's gone. Something happened to it. It's no longer there. In fact, there's a big hole in the ground. It's gone. You look at that hole and your heart is filled with sorrow because the tree is gone. That great, beautiful, magnificent tree that brought so much, like the olive tree, like the children, the grandchildren, the husband, the wife. I love how we're equated to that in God's word. It's gone. What do? You go dive into the hole? Well, sorrow upon sorrow can make that happen. It's an empty void that only God can fill. And so you take and you go and you do something. You start to do something with that. Maybe you put a swimming pool in one day. You try to rebuild. You try to figure it out. You still have the feelings attached to it. Every time you see that, you go, you have feelings. But then feelings can be replaced with things like the beautiful slideshow. And we remember the good. And only God can fill in the rest. And I want to show you how that happens. The God of all comfort causes that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That means that's where comfort comes from. You know, you all know God is love, right? God is love. Well, God is peace. God is comfort. He is the originator of all good things. Comfort is one of them. It's a tenderness that happens. And it's in the spiritual realm because death is spiritual. It's not a happy time. It's not a good time. It's an enemy. And one day it will be destroyed. But right now, we deal with it because it still has its free play. But Jesus Christ fixed that for us. He fixed man's problem, which was caused by Adam. Now we have the answer to being able to get out of that state. So does Joanne. She lies waiting the gathering together. We're here as mortals waiting the same thing. Who comfort us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God's comfort is big. It's like a tenderly calling alongside. Whenever we're alongside of God, what He has to give comes into our lives. And we want to be alongside of God. And we do that by going to His Word. By being around fellow believers that love God. That's so important. The comfort goes back and forth then. And it's so helpful. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and that's what happens, the sufferings of Christ, they feel like they abound. Like they abound so much they're going to overcome. And you just want to give up. Well, God doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to understand that sufferings will abound. He also wants us to know that so our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. The Christ in us, the gift of Holy Spirit, what we have because of His accomplishments bring comfort into our lives. That's like the doorway for comfort to come in. And so we're okay. We'll be all right. We'll get through this. I'm not saying don't quit thinking about whatever you're thinking about, but I'm saying put on the comfort. This comfort is here. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the comfort. Well, we know we're partaking of this. Claire, I know your heart's a little upset. Mine is. Papa Nick's is. Joy, everybody. We're partaking of this one side of this thing that we wish we'd rather not have to. But we are. And we didn't even cause it. But we are. We have to. We're going through it. And we can go through it. And the answer, if you ever ask why, is because we can. And the answer to that, we can because we have God's comfort. It's so awesome. We shall also be partakers of the comfort. There is a change coming, and I want to finish in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read verse 13 again and a few verses after that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, what does that mean? We're sorrowing. Well, it means that you don't go dive into the hole where the tree was and give up. If you just think it's all over and it will never change. There is a change coming. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, and that's a euphemism, sleep, without saying the D-E-A-D word. Well, Jesus, in sleeping Jesus, will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, by God's word. And what God says It's going to happen. It's going to happen. What he means is what he means. And it's going to happen. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. We which are alive and remain. That is as big a part of the hope of seeing that glory, of getting a body fashioned like unto Jesus Christ's resurrected body, as the other part of the hope is for those that are asleep, that are no longer alive. We which are alive and remain. Jesus Christ would come back at any second. I would prefer that he would come back at any second. What a great day that would be. That tells us that no matter what we're going through, we still have hope because he's coming back. We shall not precede them. Well, what's going to happen then? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. These are sounds that have never been heard before. I don't care how loud the trumpet sounds are, or any sound you've ever heard. This is going to be heard worldwide, and it's going to raise the dead, those that are asleep. They're going to raise first. Whoa. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming back, alive and remain. So what do we do while we're alive and remain? Claire just said it. Go tell people about it. Yeah. That's how we fight back against all odds. We take a stand. We're not hopeless. We don't go die in misery. We do have sorrow, but we don't have the sorrow of the world that makes them just want to end it all. We have sorrow, but we also have the hope. And the hope helps us deal with two things while we're waiting. You know what those two things are? You have the physical loss. You have the empty hole. The tree is gone. Then you have the emotional. You have that side of it too. We're all going through both of those. And only God can fix both of those. And he does it with his comfort. And so as we introduce light into our lives, as we together keep putting on God's word to have purpose, to try to take that next step, and we will, and we'll do it together, then it can turn around. That doesn't mean you will forget anything. It means that you have hope. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be as easy as it was before such and such happened, but it means that we have hope and that we look forward to that great and notable day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns for us. We have that hope, and that means the glory of God will be manifested. God's glory is everywhere. It's everywhere present. Most can't see it. It's the last time you looked under your car. It's all the shadow. I mean, we didn't see the burning fiery bush with Moses, and we sure didn't see his bright and smiley face when he came down off the mount. And we were not there when Jesus Christ got up from the dead. But we do have a more sure word of prophecy, and I'd like to have that in a minute. And as we reframe our new normal, because it is a reframing, and Joy said it so well, it's a reframing that we do. We've talked a lot about this. As we reframe our new normal, we think on these things. Think on that change. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. But I know we all believe it. It's just outside of our control. It's a waiting game. So we patiently wait while we are staying very busy, Claire. Right? Yeah. Right now, those who have taken their last breath, they're asleep. They're awaiting the gathering together. Right now, those who are alive and remain are waiting together. They're awaiting it. We're just on TDY. Comforting one another with these words, it does answer that age-old question of how to ease the sorrow experience when the mighty tree is replaced by the dark, empty hole in the heart. I'd like to say that again. Comforting one another with these words answers the age-old question of how to ease the sorrow experienced when the mighty tree is replaced by the huge, dark, empty hole in the heart. We who are alive and remain are to comfort one another with these words. The comfort of God fills in that which is missing. And it does. It fills in that which is missing, and it allows the reframing of life's new normal. And we keep the good memories. We move on. We all have a legacy. And like I mentioned earlier, if everybody in here raised their hand on who's related by blood to Papa Nick, go ahead. How many of them? Yeah, half the room. Dad, half the room raised their hands. What a great legacy that is. And you all could do the same with your families. It's a beautiful thing. Dad, I applaud you and I salute you for the life that you live and the greatness of who you are. How amazing your life has been and all that it represents. And if you all haven't heard some of the incredible stories that Dad has shared about his life, well, I hope you can one day. I hope you can do that. And then the final verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What are the words are you going to use? This is the greatest comfort. It's something God's going to do. He's going to do sooner or later. And I'd like to be one of those mortals, one of those people that are alive and remain in the next 5 seconds. And it can happen. It can happen. It's so great.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Claire Brown. She's Preston and Eugene's daughter.
When I first met Omar, I knew that she was going to be wonderful. I was so sad to know that that we had to go, and when I got there, I saw her, and I wanted to let her know how much I loved her, and I was just so happy that we got to spend the time with her and let her know how much we cared. At first, I was so sad, and then I would remind myself that she was redeemed, she was a born-again believer. And so I had to know that the Bible says we can't grieve, we can sorrow, but grieving is for the ones who are lost, and Omar was not lost. We will see her again. And so I started spreading comfort to other people. And I'm so glad, we could let Omar know how much we loved her.